Welcome to the Financial Leverage Point, hosted by John Iannucci, founder and CEO of ILG Private Wealth. In this podcast, we dive deep into the world of financially successful families. We offer candid advice on how to navigate the maze of strategies and products designed to protect, grow, and transition your wealth to your family, friends, and the causes you care deeply about. Join John and his guest experts as they unveil the crucial elements of comprehensive tax, estate, business succession, and financial planning. Strategies designed to give you sleep through the night confidence while maintaining a steady flow of wealth for you and your heirs.
You're not happy with your financial professional and you want to change advisors. This episode is for you as John Iannucci tackles the worst mistakes investors make when changing advisors. I love that title, John.
Right.
I'll tell you, this should be entertaining, if not enlightening, right?
Right. Definitely.
So tell me, where did you get this idea to begin with?
Well, you know, Patrice, like as I meet with new prospects, I'm never bored by the question that a potential new client asked me when interviewing me for a role as their new advisor. You know, it's a kind of a mutual interview process. They're interviewing me. I'm interviewing them to make sure that, you know, I can do what I think they need or want. And at the same time, I've had the opportunity to understand really the mistakes that investors make when they believe that they're shopping, quote unquote, shopping for a new advisor.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the internet though has made things, it's an everyday process. You shop for everything. You shop for products, for services.
Right.
I mean, if I wanted to get a new TV or a car, you know, I'd go all over the place to look for the best price for the product.
Absolutely.
Is that kind of what you're talking about here?
That's right on. And so, you know, typically, new prospects come into my office and they have a series of questions that I think some TV personality actually suggested they ask an advisor when they're interviewing an advisor to take on their account.
Like what? Like what are these questions?
So I'll break their prospects questions into several distinct categories. I call those categories, number one, the race to zero questions. Number two, the may the best man or woman win questions. And then finally, the I can do anything better than you questions. Remember that old song, I can do anything better than you?
It's not so old. It was from Annie, Get Your Gun, Broadway
right.
show, by the way, Broadway
right,
show.
Right.
So exactly. Obviously, I do remember that song.
Right.
Right. Let's take these one, two, three then.
Okay.
Race to zero. What do you mean?
So the race to zero questions go something like this. So how much will you charge to manage my investments? Well, I met with another advisor last week and he or she said she would only charge me 1% to manage my investments. Are you willing to manage my investments for less than 1%? I'm very fee sensitive and the investor expects an advisor to engage in kind of a bidding war with another hypothetical advisor that the investor may or may not have met with.
Oh, well, you know, think about it, though. In today's mm-hmm. society, we mm-hmm. do bargain a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Why is this a mistake?
So I think it's actually a huge mistake. And let me explain why. There are only a couple of reasons why an advisor would be willing to discount his or her fees. Think about it. Number one, they're desperate.
Yeah.
They need new clients and they're willing to do anything to get new clients. You know, does that sound like the kind of advisor you want to trust with your hard-earned life savings?
No. Somebody who's desperate. No.
Right? They're so desperate. Sometimes we call that commission breath or fee breath, right? They're so desperate searching for new clients. You know, do you think they really have time to provide you with a customized plan that's regularly monitored and adjusted? You know, I'd like to call them the Ron Popeil of investment advisors. Right. You know, remember the commercial, set it and forget it.
Yes.
If they're willing to discount your fees, then remember, you're only going to get what you pay for. They will utilize the set it and forget it investment strategy. They'll put you in some model portfolio that someone else created as a turnkey solution for someone else in your situation and never take the time to develop, monitor, adjust a proactive, customized, comprehensive solution specifically designed to meet your goals. You know, they may speak to you a few times a year to update you on their kids, their last vacation, and to perform a very high level cursory review of your investments. but you're not getting a customized solution.
No.
You know, they're also the advisor that finds other ways to earn more money than you think you're paying for your advice. If they're discounting their fee, be very careful about the mutual funds, for instance, that may pay them a significant marketing fee, right? They only use funds with exorbitant internal expense ratios that find their way back to the advisor, or even worse, they regularly will utilize a number of funds that have the same name as their employer. For instance, Blank Bank High Income, the Corner Bank Bond Fund. You know, by using those proprietary funds created by their employer, their broker-dealer, the advisor, 9 times out of 10, is significantly benefiting from fees and expenses charged by the fund and taking advantage of other incentives offered by their employer. You know, at the end of the day, if the advisor is willing to negotiate his or her fees with you, it's a warning sign. Pay attention. If, on the other hand, the advisor quickly responds by informing you that his or her fees are not negotiable, it's because they know what their services are truly worth. They know how hard they work to provide a customized plan for their clients and that they regularly monitor and adjust those when required. You know, it's really appropriate for such an advisor to expect to be fairly compensated for the dedication to your dreams, goals, and financial success. If they're to explain their fee schedule but remain firm on their fees, even at the risk of losing the opportunity to work with you, that's the sign you should be looking for.
Okay, but they should at least be willing to explain?
They absolutely should be willing to explain.
All right, good. All right, what about this may the best man or woman win here? We got a boxing match going on.
Right, that's the boxing match question, right? That's when an investor will come in and interview me and say, how about if I give you 50% of my investments and another advisor will manage the other 50% of my investments? And ultimately, the investor will choose the advisor that gets the best investment results, right? We're competing to see who does best for that advisor.
Okay, I can see that they want the best returns. Mm-hmm. I'm not so sure that that's a great idea to split your investments, first of all, and compete.
Right.
Go on, keep going more.
So here's where the significant mistake is. Essentially, you've challenged two or more advisors to get the highest returns possible on your investments. Well, as a general rule, what do you have to do in order to earn a higher return on your investments?
Got it. You're talking risk.
Exactly. In order to compete for your business, that advisor will be tempted to cause you to incur significantly more risk than you want or should incur. The advisor is going to put, you know, the pedal to the metal and attempt to maximize your returns because he or she wants to win the other half of your business. But what happens if the market turns and you've incurred way more risk than you should have incurred, right? What happens if both competing advisors are investing in many of the same investments? So now your portfolio is entirely too concentrated in particular investments, right? They're not communicating with each other and saying, okay, you take high tech, I'll take industry. Both of those advisors are using the same very risky investments.
So your investments are in the same type of risky places twice.
Right. That's correct. And if the market has a major pullback, you have a double whammy because you got hit twice. Right.
Well, this doesn't do much for your long-term outlook there.
No, it doesn't. You know, those advisors in that situation are going to be pulling out the stops and ignoring your risk tolerance because they want to win the other portion of your investments.
You started to sing the song before.
Right.
I can do anything better than you.
Right.
Tell me about those questions.
Yeah, those are the dreaded do-it-yourselfers. You know, they spend their days surfing the web. Typically, they're retired execs. And they spend their day surfing the web looking for free investment advice. And they want to know why they should pay you for advice that they think they can get for free on the internet.
Well, I guess a lot of stuff is free, but is it good?
Right. That's the key. There's a lot of great information on the internet, but there's an equal, if not greater, amount of garbage on the internet. If the internet was the perfect tool to eliminate the need for professional expert advice, We wouldn't have a need for doctors or real estate agents, lawyers, CPA, psychologists. The list goes on, right?
Yeah.
So if you like managing your investments and you have the time to study the market and read white papers and analyst reports, you might do okay for a while. You might even get cocky during a bull market when you can roll out of bed and make money, essentially. But, you know, do you really think you can develop the expertise required to consider not only the investment strategies that are available to manage your savings, but also to develop the tax expertise that's required, right? To implement a tactical tax management strategy. You know, the expertise required to protect your investments from the wealth predators we've talked about before. Mm-hmm. You know, the potential benefit of integrating annuities and life insurance into your plans. You know, when I run across a new client that's concerned that he won't have anything to do with his or her days if they turn over the management of their investments to my team. And believe me, I get those. They come to me and say, well, if I turn over the management of my investments, what will I do tomorrow? You know, they literally wake up and turn on their computer and sit in front of their computer looking at the stock market pretty much all day long.
That's not so much of a life.
No, it's not. Normally that happens when one spouse is still working, the other spouse is retired, and so they're at home alone, and they're looking at the stock market all day long. And so the way I try to appease them, the way I try to help them continue to have something to do during the day, is that I'll occasionally suggest that we create a separate account that the client can actually manage themselves. You know, if they feel that turning over the wealth management to a professional will create a huge void in their lives, then I suggest let's actively manage. Let me give you a portfolio to actively manage. But it's got to be one that they've got to be able to bear a possible loss and not significantly mm-hmm. impact their retirement or estate plans, right?
Mm-hmm. Got that.
I give them something to do.
Yeah, exactly. You're giving them a purpose. And right. They do have the time because this right. does take time as well if you're going right. to do it properly.
Right. And so, you know, when that's the case, when we discuss the creation of a segregated portfolio that will allow them to stay active and creative every day, you know, we want to make sure it's a smaller account that if they happen to have losses, you know, that it won't change their retirement. And they love the idea of being able to continue to personally manage that portion of their investments.
Do you ever get someone who looks at what they've done with their little portfolio and compare it to what you've done with their big portfolio?
On a daily basis. And so, yeah, there's always that conversation about, hey, I managed my small portfolio and did significantly better than you did. And, you know, that's when we really have to sit down and compare strategies, the amount of risk that they've assumed versus the amount of risk that I'm suggesting they consume or assume with the vast majority of their investments. And then once we get into that conversation and they realize that they're really picking very high risk investments, these high flyers, right. and that it would be horribly inappropriate to use those same investments over their entire accounts. They realize they continue to have fun, but that competition goes away fairly quickly.
I was going to say, I can see the right. competition dissipating, right. but it's still fun. It is fun.
Right. It is for some people. Right.
Yeah. All right. So what other advice do you have?
Well, you know, Patrice, I think that asking a direct question about whether or not an advisor is a fiduciary has become a waste of time and energy.
You mentioned this. In fact, we should remind listeners, you did one of your rants on this, and it was a right. wonderful episode. I'm not sure of the number, but look for fiduciary.
Right, right. And so, you know, I think I've told you before, and I've told our listeners before, I think in many ways the financial services industry is broken. And, you know, I think the industry has intentionally made it impossible to determine, you know, which wealth manager is truly a fiduciary. You know, asking the question has become a complete waste of time and will only provide an investor with a false sense of security. Literally everyone claims to be a fiduciary.
Well, don't you want a fiduciary though? I mean,
you
I'm sorry, in
absolutely.
Your position, in your
you
position,
want a fiduciary,
yes.
right?
Yes, you should.
And so, you know, I think that what we've learned is there are some things you can do to determine if an advisor is acting as a fiduciary. Look at that advisor's record on BrokerCheck, for instance, to see if there have been any claims against the advisor, which allege that they haven't acted as a fiduciary, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that there are ways to try and do that. But with so many aspects of our lives, the only way to truly make certain you're working with a fiduciary is through the experience of working with that advisor and keeping a close eye on that advisor and what they're doing. You know, we've got a series of questions that we developed that we're happy to provide to our listeners that they can continue to ask and monitor on a regular basis that will tell that client whether or not the advisor is a fiduciary.
And where can they get those?
Like everything else on our podcast, all they have to do is reach out to me at wecanhelpyou.com. Ask for a list of those questions to ask potential new advisors. We'd be happy to send it right out to them with no obligation whatsoever. But I really want to make this point. You know, if you think you've won a significant victory by negotiating down an advisor's fees, you've probably made a huge mistake. Think about it. Like everything else in your life, you would gladly pay a real estate agent 6% to sell your home and get top dollar. You know, a great agent really works hard to earn that commission. They're incentivized, in fact, by the fact that they earn more if they get more for your home, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you learn that if you need open heart surgery to save your life, do you interview cardiac surgeons to determine which doctor will discount his or her fee?
I don't think so.
No. Do you ask your primary care physician if they can do the open heart surgery at less cost? No, of course you don't, right? You find the absolute best expert you can that can provide you with comprehensive integrated advice, and you pay the cost because you know that the results net of those costs will benefit you and your family. It's the same with an investment advisor. You know, when you've worked hard to become successful, when you've accumulated a significant nest egg for your retirement, and you want to pass it on to your spouse and children, do you think it makes sense to go to the cheapest advisor you can find who's trying to make up their fees in volume? No. You want an expert that has investment, tax, estate planning, business succession planning, asset protection expertise, and that can provide all those services in a single coordinated, customized plan for you and your family, right? You want a confidant that you can call when your financial concerns keep you awake at night. You're not going to get that with a discount broker, right? Remember, the best advisor is the advisor that can provide you with so much more than wealth management. You know, wealth management to some degree may be a commodity, but when you're a successful family, it's all of the other things that you need in coordination, in combination with wealth management, that will determine if you have a successful retirement, if you successfully transfer most of your wealth to the next generation, right? That's how you find out if somebody's a fiduciary.
Good thoughts, John. Lots of good thoughts. You mentioned it before, but how can listeners get in touch with you? Because they may need to know more about these questions.
Absolutely. And we're happy to provide them with that list of questions for potential new advisors. They can reach us at wecanhelpyou.com. Just reach out and ask for our concise list of the questions you should be asking if you're interviewing for a new advisor. We're happy to provide it, no obligation basis. Get it out to them as quickly as possible.
Fantastic. And that information is also in the show notes too, listeners. So you can go there to check. Once again, thank you for following this podcast. You will not miss any episodes when you do that. I hope you will share this with others, especially those who might say to you, I'm not really happy with my advisor. I got some questions for you here.
Right.
First of all, thanks for being with us. John, thanks a lot. Great episode.
Thank you for listening to the Financial Leverage Point. Click the follow button to be notified when new episodes become available. To contact John, check out the show notes where you'll find his contact information and useful resources from today's episode. Once again, thank you for listening. The information covered and posted represents the views and opinions of the guest and does not necessarily represent the views or opinions of John Iannucci. The content has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The content is not intended to be a substitute for professional investment advice. Always seek the advice of your financial advisor or other qualified financial service provider with any questions you may have regarding your investment planning.